halal, when, where is it say in the deen that you're supposed to have fun or have entertainment? We were created for ibadah, and that's it. I'm just joking. But I think sometimes people, develop that idea when you think about being Islamic, that it precludes enjoying yourself in any way. And that when you take that interpretation or that approach to the deen, it becomes very, very dry. And for some individuals, it may be fine. But I think for the vast majority of people, that's not something that, that's really a sustainable model. And we do find examples in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you could say, quote unquote, having fun with his spouse. You see, there was the infamous food fight. There was the him racing Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. You see, there was a play that was going on in the masjid with the Abyssinians with their spears. And then Aisha radiallahu anha, she was watching it and he actually gave his shoulder. So he literally, physically, and emotionally supported her until and didn't stop until she felt tired. So there's a lot of examples. You see the Prophet himself making time for himself and sometimes going into a garden, and the Sahaba are like, where did the Prophet go? And they actually would get worried and they would actually have to go out and try to find where he was. So these are, and but it does raise the issue that and I think it's important for us to understand that the idea of what is entertaining is not monolithic. It's actually relative, and it's actually relative to where you're at in your own deen and where you are in your own emotional and psychological state. I know it's getting a little bit philosophical, but I think it's important to understand what entertains us. And I can tell you for and there's many examples of how fun and entertainment is relative, because what we found entertaining when we were, 5 years old is certainly not entertaining anymore, right? When you're 25. And what you found entertaining when you're 25 may no longer be entertaining now when we're 40 or 50. So that's a moving target. And it also changes as, a person moves along in their deen, that they find different things entertaining. And it's just like, eating clean. When a person, is just used to fast food all the time, if you want to call it that, food, and they're just putting slime and, processed sugars, and they're just very used to it, then that's all they know, and it feels great, and that's entertaining. But if you learn to eat really clean, if you drink a glass of Coke after that, you're just going to feel very icky after that. And so there's a refinement that occurs as you move on to bigger and better things. And the same thing applies to what's entertaining. And the ultimate example of that is the Prophet, right? And the reason I mentioned this is just for us to know where the idea lies. Because if you actually look in the Sunnah and you go through the Hadith literature, you don't see a lot of emphasis necessarily on entertainment. You don't see a lot of emphasis necessarily on having fun. And the reason is that as the person becomes more and more refined and spiritually accomplished, we say that what they called that the things that are beloved in the deen become beloved to the nafs, right? And the things which are disliked in the deen become disliked to the nafs. So, some people, they have no problem staring at porn for hours, and they find that, quote unquote, entertaining. But for the refined individual, that's going to be repulsive, right? They will not like that. That won't be entertaining. In fact, they'll feel like throwing up if they were to see something like that. Literally, they would feel like throwing up. And so the Prophet was the ultimate example of that, that he had reached such a pinnacle of spirituality that the way that he, quote unquote, relaxed, or the way that he enjoyed himself and he found pleasure, was in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, literally. So there is that, and we know from the narration, ju'ilat qurratu ayni fi s-salah wa kama qala Rasulullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the coolness of the eye, my coolness of the eyes in salah. And so when he was asked about, you know, the three things that were most beloved to him in the world, right, he mentioned women, and he also mentioned, and then he mentioned Salah. And so, but that was also a form of entertainment. And that was one of the things that a person is not taken to account for, is the amount of time that they spend with their wife, which for me was huge when I got married, because, you know, I was very West Point about my deen, I think, before I got married, very rigid. And so, like, you can't waste any time, every minute is accountable, that type of thing. And then it's hard to sort of, you know, keep that up. And then now you get married, and literally the time that you just spend talking, like, you actually had a friend, and it wasn't like you didn't ding yourself spiritually for quote unquote hanging out or chilling out. And that wasn't a messed up thing to do. Otherwise, for most, pretty much didn't have very many friends except my kitabs before that. So that it is important. And the Prophet, you see the Prophet says him literally making time, that he would spend time just sitting and talking with his family. And that was entertaining, right? That was fun in a way. It was a way to come down, let down your hair. And then when the time for Salah would be like everything else vanished, and then he would go into Salah. And this is just to provide some type of reference. But I think, you know, I mean, for the normative Muslim who in the 21st century in the West, who's trying to, you know, live within the bounds of the Sharia, right, from a traditional perspective, yeah, I think, you know, we live in an environment probably where we've gone way overboard as a society in focusing on entertainment, but it is important, and it's important to sustain our relationships. It's important for our kids. It is something that we do need to maintain a healthy lifestyle and to maintain a balance in the West, from a week-to-week perspective, from a daily perspective, so on and so forth. So that it's actually important. It's part of our maintaining our mental health. So I would say that it's actually, in the context that we live in, I would say it's Islamic at a certain level to work in regular entertainment where the spouses can bond. I would say that it's Islamic to come to the point where you have regular entertainment or fun things to do for the kids. And this was, at least when our kids were younger and growing up, this was a stable part of our weekly regimen. That, you know, we would know that they would know that, and this is what kids need, is they need rites and they need rituals. And they would know that Saturday is family day. So dad is busy with, you know, med school, or dad is busy with residency, and they knew that the weekdays were really tough. But I would stay super late on Friday, and, you know, even if it's midnight, and I would clean up my cases, because like Saturday was sacred. So in the morning we'd get up, and then it would be clean up and so catch up from the week. And then everything else could wait, because, you know, you put the kids first and you'd spend time, and there would be different things that we would do. And we'd talk about that. So what are some of those things that, what are those things that you can do? What's that called? Actually, maybe we should think about it the other way. Like, when I'm thinking about a lot of the things, you know, you say you go through lists that, of what things that spouses can do for fun, or things that you can do with your kids. You know, I would say you could probably do almost everything on the list. And it's probably not a lot of things that you don't do, but that we don't do. So we don't drink, right? So that's sort of out. And we don't like go to the movies. That's sort of out. But, you know, short of that, I mean, pretty much most other things are pretty open for the taking. I'm going to mention something else here, and this is sort of a subtle point, but it's something just to keep in the back of the mind, that, you know, it's important to have fun, but in the process, we need to be very careful about crafting a narrative of a romanticized view of what we maybe had consumed in our quote unquote pre-Islamic days, of what it means to have fun with our spouse, and try to recreate that within the bounds of Islam. Because people have, you know, people of spirituality have found that, you know, that can have spiritual effects. It can be a spiritually inferior thing to do. So if you're trying to recreate, you know, what quote unquote, you know, Islam, what a non-Islamic scenario in your mind, so find, oh, you know, we can't drink, but I'm going to get non-alcoholic, you know, fizzle thing, and we'll get wine glasses, and we're going to dress up, and we're going to put candles, and dressing up and putting candles, no problem with that. This is that non-alcoholic wine part that I'm talking about. it with the idea that there's sometimes aggrandizement in our eyes of that somehow some superior way to live. There's that love of something which is impermissible, right? That's not an awla. We're ghani. Our deen has given us enough, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much in life and so many options that we don't need to resort to that. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. That who's the one who made, you know, the zina and the beautiful things of the world haram on us, right? And it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it for us to enjoy. So I'm going to give a couple of things that I think come to mind. One of the things is that to go out for a date for spouses. And that means that, you know, go out and you can eat out together or go out for a picnic. And we would have, at least in St. Louis, we had a couple of like traditional families that we felt very comfortable with. And so we would just have a rotation where, you know, all the kids, one family would watch other people's kids, and whether it's like Friday night or whatever, then it would just be time for the spouses away from the kids to actually spend time with each other. So I think that's, you know, that's super important. And even like in residency, like we would have, me and my wife would try to make time where we would have like one trip without the kids, where it's just where we can go and reconnect and spend time together. So that's important. And so you can go and eat out, that's fine. And as long as the food is halal, you can go out for a picnic. Going for walks is a great way to spend time. In general, doing things outside in nature, I think some of our most memorable memories as spouses and even maybe as a family, like climbing Mount Sur in Seattle, it was like amazing. And we keep those memories to our day. And that's what kids, this is getting to the kids situation, but kids will remember a lot more the experiences that you create for them than the things that you buy for them, right? So it's very easy to sort of buy them toys or this and that and try to just sort of get them off your case because we're too busy. But taking the time to create those experiences, whether it's, you know, making cookies with them, baking with them, so on and so forth, that really will stick with them. Even shopping together, what's that called? That can be an activity that's fun. You just want to try to avoid a time where like the mall is full or whatever the case may be. And, you know, Mona Shafli Thanwi did mention that, you know, you don't want to go to the bazaar looking for your needs, but when you have a need, go for the bazaar. But there's usually always something that, you know, you're probably looking for or that we need for the home. So, I mean, and it might be, and that's the other thing to bear in mind, that sometimes spouses will have different interests, and the other spouse should be supportive sometimes of the other spouse's interests. So maybe, you know, you have no interest in drapery shopping whatsoever, right? And it's more boring than, you know, watching Twilight Zone reruns ad nauseum or ad infinitum. I don't know. But, you know, your wife likes it. So you need to sort of bite the bullet and do that together and actually pretend like you enjoy it. Because if you don't, then you're not going to get any credit for it anyway. So if you're going to do it, it's like praying. If you pray, you're praying anyway, you're spending the time, you might as well do it with khushu. So if you're going shopping anyway, you might as well do it and pretend that you're enjoying it instead of trying to hurry them, you know, actually be involved in the process. And the other way around, maybe, you know, the husband is really into sports and he says, oh, you know, I want to go and shoot some hoops. I find some time where there's no one at the court, right? And then you can go and play. And like, maybe, you know, you have absolutely no, you know, no interest in basketball, but you can rebound for him, right? And throw him the ball. And it's something that brings people together. And so that's another category, I think, of things that people that spouses can do together is just activities in general. It could be sports, something like, I'm not saying like you, I don't know, I'm not saying that you play like, you know, 3-on-3 basketball with your wife. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm like, you can be badminton or something. There, if you have like a tennis court in your own subdivision or something like that, and you know, times where there's no one there, and those tend to be closed so that a woman can still stay in hijab and you can, you know, you would know ahead of time if there's a car coming, you can do tennis together. You know, there's frisbee, you know, things like that, things where it's not, you don't necessarily have to compromise hijab, but you can still have fun. And activities can be sort of physical activities, like some of the things I mentioned, kayaking. Like, so water sports are great, in the sense that, you know, you could kayak together, canoe together. Like over here in close to Tampa, there's this place where, like, these hot springs and the water is like always like 70. And so you could just get a boat and just go boating. And there's, I mean, you're on a river. It's like you're not going to see anyone. So that can be a really fun thing to do. Taking classes together, I would say, like Islamic classes. You could, and it could be other classes too. It's just some hobby, like, I don't know, how to make raise bonsai plants or something. I remember that we went to some, there was some event here in Tampa where it was just gardening, like some gardening event. So we went and they had, you know, different types of trees, and there was actually a bonsai club, right? I don't know about joining the bonsai club, but, you know, if a person wants to learn how to do a particular skill, you know, that might be something that husband and wife can do together. Reading books together, right? Making a book club, so you make a book list and then discussing the books afterwards. That can be a good bonding event. And I guess in general, this is sort of a larger thing, and something it really brings husband and wife together. And Sheikh Hussein has given this advice: it's, you know, when you build each other, that you invest in each other spiritually. One of the very, so people are like, how do you do that? It seems so nebulous. One of the very easy way to do that is to take on a project together. So you say that we're going to start a non-for-profit. We're going to help homeless people. We're going to help orphans. We're going to work on, get a cause that you both feel strongly about, and then devote yourself to that cause, right? It could be supporting scholarship. It could be studying yourselves. It could be social activism. You know, pick a topic. It could be making the world more green, right? And reducing our carbon footprint. It doesn't really matter. These are all good things. But then when you work together on something like that, that really brings, that's something I found that really brings spouses together, because you have this shared vision, and then you connect on so many levels because of that, because you're really deeply invested in something. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, if, is it not necessarily, maybe it's not a fun activity, but actually spending time to think about how to do the therapy of the kids and see which way they're going and to discuss that, that's actually a bonding event as well, because it's something that both parties feel really deeply about, and planning their future and what's going to happen to them and worrying about that, it creates a bond. Travel is another huge one, I think. It's a lot of fun. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, five-star hotels in the most exotic places, right? I mean, America the Beautiful, subhanAllah, right? I mean, I remember, we didn't grow up very wealthy, but I mean, I remember my dad's Datsun, which was this old station wagon that we had. And, you know, I don't know, gas was probably like 99 cents a gallon. And we'd just pack up the car and put our, you know, stuff on the top, and you hit the open road. And there was just so much to see, and I carry those memories to this day, right? For me, from our childhood, it's a great thing to do with kids. It's a great thing to do with one's spouse. And travel, actually, you know, especially when your kids become teenagers and they actually don't want to spend any time with you anyway, is really a good chance where you're stuck in the car together for, like, you know, 10 hours. They're forced to actually open up and talk, and so it gives you a chance to really listen, see what's going on in your life. And you can actually, sometimes we assume so many things about our kids, but they've actually evolved over those years. And we're not really listening to them. We haven't been a part of them. You don't even know who their friends are and what they're going through and what their questions are. So it's a chance for all of that to come out. Exercising together can be a great bonding activity. And so I don't know, I'm a supporter of, like, having home gyms. That's, if you can create that. And now they have some really, like, nifty stuff with AI, like Tonal, and I know there's all these different things. I don't advocate the, I mean, there's, like, you can't look at non-mahrams, right? And that type of things. But that you can get machines that can, in the house itself, so where you can still maintain hijab, and you can still work on, and you can set a time, for example, this is our exercise time. And so one person on the treadmill, maybe one person's doing weights, and then you switch it up. So that, I think that could be another really good thing. And that's something that you can do with the kids as well. So, you know, if the kids are into biking, you can go biking with the kids. If the kids like basketball, you can shoot, you know, hoops with the kids if you play basketball. You're just throwing the football around. I mean, my boys, they just enjoy just throwing the football around. Something some simple as that. And even the younger one, like, you know, they love, I mean, anyone can play soccer, right? So you just take your boys to the, or girls to the soccer field and, you know, have the little ones just running around and playing soccer with them. I think volunteering is another good, fun activity. One of the things I think is super entertaining, it's just good conversation, right? Having some, you have some nice tea, you sit back on the porch and just talk and take some time to rediscover each other. And this is something that we see from the Sunnah. The Prophet would do this regularly. And at a certain level, if, you know, this is how you bond and form relationships, is by actually spending time, not doing anything fancy. It doesn't have to be super, you know, amazing. Just sitting and talking and just chilling, and spending time together. It goes a long way in creating close bonds. And that's what, you know, like the Harvard study, that one of the things that goes so far in determining how a person will be healthier long-term and successful and so on and so forth, and happiness in general, you would say is the strength of their relationships. So taking time, and this is something that you really see was really amazing in third world countries, and we do such a poor job at it here in the West. You know, in Zambia, people just come over and they would just like, you know, even in India, they come over, they come and have chai, they sit, you know, they laugh. It's like their lives are full. They're like happy. There's this human connection. There's a real sense of community. And we don't have this atomized concept of community that we have here in the West, where people are just so siloed. Journaling, right, I think is another fun activity. And then there's some more, but I wanted to spend a little bit of time also talking about what kids can do. So kids, it depends on the niche, on their age, but obviously one thing about kids, but when you want to do entertaining things for them, a lot of times let them lead, right? You don't, you know, when people say, I don't know what to do with my kids, you don't really need to figure it out. You know, just like 15 minutes of time, of floor time with them, they'll tell you what they want to do. Baba, do this with me. Baba, do that with me. So it depends on the age, but in nature, in general, nature things are great to do with kids. And nature definitely over things with devices, right? I would definitely say that. And, you know, initially our kids were, it's hard because like, what are we supposed to do here? Just looking at the trees. But we really pushed this with them when they were younger. And, you know, alhamdulillah, when they grew older, they really enjoy nature. They just have this general appreciation that, you know, and it does, you don't need a lot to feel good and feel, you know, get that high. You just sit and hear the ocean waves, or you hear the rustling in the leaves, or, I mean, that's enough to fill a person. You look at sports is a great thing for kids, whether it be organized or otherwise, that's a fun thing for kids. I would say, you know, video games, you know, I think people rail against them, but given the state of what's going on with kids, I would much rather have my kids playing video games than, I mean, I'm not telling you get them like Grand Theft Auto, but I would much rather have them playing like Super Mario Kart than spending time on TikTok or on Instagram. So yeah, sometimes you have to choose the lesser of two evils, right? So there's caveats with it, and you want to make sure that they don't get addicted, because that does happen. People do develop addiction. But within bounds, I think having a little bit of time where they can play video games is fine, and you shouldn't be too harsh on them with regards to that. Arts and crafts, kids love, especially at younger age, but then as they get older, you can, like, you know, for example, say that we're gonna, especially if you're good at art, take up like calligraphy together. You can take classes with them. You can say, hey, we're going to do this huge project where we're going to, you know, draw the haram or something, and then you work on it, you know, you break it up into like 1,000 small portions, and you draw a little bit every day on a huge canvas. Travel, we already talked about. Museums, right? Taking them to museums is something we did a lot with the kids. I think my wife lived at the museums when we were in Chicago. You'd get these free passes from the library, and then you're just there. But you know, a lot of these things, locally that they have these like annual passes. So it's not a bad idea to get that with the kids. So we have like, for example, an annual pass for the zoo. And our little ones love it, right? They love seeing the animals. There's always something to learn, and I learn, the kids learn, and it's just overall a great experience. Eating out can be a fun thing, right? So like once a week you have a day that, you know, it's pizza night and you eat out or whatever, or bring food in. We talk aquariums, libraries actually, interestingly, are really fun. It can be a really fun activity for the kids. And the great thing about going to the library together is that, you know, they get to pick out books and then they also come back with something that keeps them busy when they're home. Going to parks is great. I think exploring, just exploring the city, exploring, making your own little adventures. It's not unheard of just saying, hey, let's just go for a drive. Like, it doesn't really matter. Just drive aimlessly and just sit and talk. And if you have more time, then you can get more involved and more creative, right? Like build something together. So we're going to make a fort. We're going to make a tree house. And then there's things that you should do on a regular basis, like read to your kids when they're younger. As you're older, like, you know, have dinner together, have discussions. And then one of the other things that you can really go a long way is like picking up hobbies. This is actually a huge protection for kids, to get them out of haram, especially as they're growing up. I mean, your lectures are only going to go so far. One of the best ways to keep them out of trouble is just to keep them busy, right? It has nothing really much to do with Islam. So find out what they like and just support it. Even if it involves some things which are maybe getting to the makruh, it's still okay because what's on the other side is much, much, much more dangerous. So if they like robotics, support that. If they like horse riding, pay a little. I mean, it can be expensive, right? But this is part of your investment in your kids and your deen to keep them out of trouble. It could be gardening, could be art, it could be boating, it could be fishing, it could be anything. Which are within the bounds of the Sharia, right? I'm not saying that, you know, I mean, if they say, oh yeah, I want to be a break dancer or something, well, okay, maybe that's not, you know, on the table, but most other things should be okay. And so I guess those were some of the things that came to mind. I know we went sort of long on time, but it's sort of, I wanted to put a lot on the table that hopefully that people can do on and use on a regular basis. Oh, the other thing that can be a really nice way to quote unquote spend time together is to meet other families that are like-minded. That's also it's also a fun way for everyone to spend time, whether it could be, you know, within the family and also a broader sense of community, right? That you have these get-togethers or you have potlucks. It's like that can be an event, and that actually goes a long way and can it's great for the kids and also good for spouses as well.